That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we're coming to you live this Saturday morning, March 21st, 2015. Boy, March is a third of the way over. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And it's Jason and I this morning. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. And everybody else is traveling out of town this week. But that's okay. We're here. And, you know, we gather in the name of Jesus Christ. The Word, of course, tells us that wherever two or more gather in His name, that He is there also. And so we welcome you, Lord Jesus. And we'll welcome you, the remnant, if you want to call in. We'll have the phone lines open up here in just a little bit. And so if you have some comments this beautiful Saturday morning, don't quite have the sunrise. It's getting awful close out here, though, at the Radio Ranch. But we do welcome you for joining us. And Jason, if you want to open us up in prayer, we'll kind of go from there.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We ask that you guide us and direct us, Father, with the working of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the rain. We thank you that it's springtime, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we pray that you just continue to let us have a blessed new year, Father, as we enter into that new year. We recognize that your year starts on a different day than the world's year does. And we just ask, Father, for your blessing upon this new year. We pray that you guide us and direct us and pour out your blessings upon us. Draw us closer to you. And we're so grateful for so much of the things that you give us on an everyday basis, Father, and we don't stop and thank you for. And we ask for your blessings upon us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hopefully you're reading your Bibles. We've sent out the Bible reading plan and have the March plan posted at the website, scriptures4america.org. And, You know, it's exciting to go back and to be reading through these stories. I know right now, at least the Friday plan was Judges 6 and 7, and that's about Gideon and Gideon's 300 and his routing of the enemy. And one of my favorite parts of that story is in the beginning of Judges 6, when the angel of the Lord has come to Gideon, and he says, it just says there in verse 12, I'll read a couple verses if that's all right. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Then Gideon said to him, and you can tell Gideon's like, oh yeah? Really? He says, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. In verse 14, I think, is the verse. The Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? And I think it was that Gideon realized that the Lord had done this. That it wasn't that Midian was so strong. It wasn't that Midian was blessed. It was that Israel had turned away from God. And because of that, they were, I think we heard John say not too long ago that he felt we were sure in the curses phase of Deuteronomy 28. And Gideon understood that. To my mind, it brings, Jason, you'll have to tell me if it ties together or not, but in my mind, it brings the centurion that Christ talked to that understood that he too was a man under authority. And if he said, go and do this, then those that were under him went and did that. And he understood the process. And you know, if you've been reading in my Bible, it's only that Gideon story 6 and 7 is only like page 190. You know, people will sit down and read a novel and read that in 2 or 3 days. You know, I see people in the library. We take the children in the library, you know, usually once a week or every other week, and there's always people in there sitting down reading books, checking books out, bringing books back, and you know, read a couple hundred pages. That's just a few days. And so hopefully, and again, Remnant, we're just trying to encourage you to be reading your Bible. What a story. And you know, the common denominator, the recurring theme that I see up to here so far, you know, is return to me, says the Lord. My ways are best. And they always have been. They always will. And you know, especially Gideon. I enjoy the story of Gideon as well, because he was, you know, we never hear Gideon of being the doubting Gideon. You know, we hear Thomas being doubting Gideon, but you know, if you've been reading this, you read here in Judges 6 about the sign of the fleece. You know, he not really argues with God, but he kind of tests God a few times. You know, hey, if the fleece is this way, if it's that way, are you sure, Lord? And so I think it's an encouragement to me to know that you know, God can use somebody Jason, you mentioned it last night, that sometime on your program with Tim, that sometimes you get second chances. And, you know, Gideon got a second chance in going and doing this for the Lord. And to me, it's exciting to know that God does that at times.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And I think that's, you know, basically where we're at. You know, people need to turn back to God if they've turned away from God. You know, we encourage people to draw closer to God and to stay out of that group of people that has turned away from God. But, you know, people reap what they sow, a nation reaps what they sow. And the world reaps what it sows. And you know, that's the things that, you know, that you got to remember.
Yeah. Yep. The The Bible tells us there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't believe it says, as a matter of fact, I know it doesn't say, there's no condemnation for those that believe, if that's all you do. You know, you have to believe, but that's just the beginning, and then you go from there. But when you're in Christ, when you abide in Him, when He abides in you, when you're clothed with Christ, well, then there is no condemnation. And then that Psalms 91, yeah, you can wield that sword, and you have that protection. So, anyway, didn't want to take much of the program, but just wanted to, again, encourage the people. We've told you, Remnant, we're going to do that this year. It's a year of encouragement, of a year of reading your Bible, of, you know, reacquainting yourself, so to speak, with our God. His Word certainly says that if we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. And reading His Word, taking time to sit down and read of Gideon, of Moses, to read the stories, to read His Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, that's one of the best ways to draw near to Him. It truly is. So, we hope you're doing it. Well, Jason, I told you before the program a little bit. I got to tune in to some of your program last night. I was listening on my iPhone, and it was pretty interesting, the parts I heard just about this. It seems like the federal government is, did I get it right? They're really trying to militarize some of these regular police forces and having some more of their little games that they're playing, or?
Yeah, basically, one of the big things that they got going on is this Jade Helm, which is a request, a formal request put in to conduct realistic military training, and they're calling it Jade Helm 15. And is what they want is they want from, and it's several states are supposed to be taking part of it. They're going to have it Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, Arizona, Nevada, and California, basically from east to west. And they're going to have, they have hostile states, they have permissive states, they have uncertain states, and they have friendly states. So basically they have everything broken down. They've even got it broken down into cities on what cities that they're going to use during this operation. And, you know, they're basically saying that it's to hone, to advance the skills in military, interagency, development, population, control. Basically, they have a whole list of, things that they want to cover in it. Basically, it's mechanics of operating outside of the normal. They're going to be doing, you know, remote communications, operating on places out of their office, different parts of the community. And they have everything broke down pretty much what they want to do, what they want to accomplish. You know, and it's military. They're using military forces to conduct it, but they're also working with local law enforcement, sheriff's departments. And you know, it just seems like it's one of those things. Is like, they're, you know, this is when, every time that they do stuff like this, that's when things start going crazy and you start seeing things happen. And it, to me, it's just part of that. You know, one world government trying to. Ties in with Agenda 21 and working together, and it's another thing to get it out there into the public, in the eye of the public, and get these kind of things seen on a regular basis. You know, they want to do roadblocks and road checks and this and that, and they want to start doing it around July 15th. They want to run it from July 15th to September 15th, 2015, and basically a two-month training exercise. Know, across several states, which that, I mean, that's a huge deal.
That is huge.
So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of it. You know, they did get it. They get a lot of people that said they didn't want them to do it, but they didn't sound like they were listening to that at all. you know, they were going to do counterterrorism exercises. They're going to do exercises that are, you know, we're invaded from a foreign country.
You know, Jason, you know, they don't have, the thought comes to mind, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but boy, they don't have to do an exercise about us being invaded by a foreign country. All they have to do is go down there from Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California, along that southern border, and we are being invaded by a foreign country, by foreign countries. Our people have no idea, the people that are coming across that southern border.
No, they really don't. I mean, well, you know, they don't even understand the ones that are here that have been here for a long time either. I mean, I thought that was interesting because of, you know, all the statements that Starbucks came out and made, and you know, the CEO of Starbucks. Do you see that where he wanted all the barstas to write race together on the coffee cups as they were handing people their coffee?
It was race together.
Yeah, that's what he came out at their annual meeting for stockholders and encouraged all of the people working at the Starbucks. The barstas to write race together on
race
their
together.
Coffee cups as they handed their coffee cups to people that order in coffee. And he says, we need to encourage people to talk about race when we hand them their coffee. Well, the thing is it backfired on them pretty bad because they had people that were, didn't know anything about talking about race when they went in to get their coffee, and the interesting thing is like, okay, you want to talk about race? Well, how come there's no Starbucks in this place, and it's 98% black, and they had and the funny thing was is as they went down, it pretty much shut down several Starbucks in certain areas because there was people that were so educated on race and the racial problems that we do have,
right?
And they were not the people working at Starbucks weren't equipped to argue any of it. Didn't know what they were talking about, and so they were getting preached to. For as soon as they wanted to talk about race, they started getting preached to about it, and nobody could get their coffee. So
yeah.
it was kind of funny.
Oh, it is, and that's to me that sounds just like this military. Oh, we're going to do exercises so we can train in case we're invaded by a foreign nation. You know, it's ludicrous. The way you and I think, we are being invaded, so just go down to the border and stop the invasion. You know, there's your practice right there. It's as simple as that. And, you know, we've had the states, these southwestern states governors and members of the Border Patrol and all types of people down there, Sheriff Joe, saying, hey, you know, you're killing us down here, literally. You know, we're being invaded. The people are, our ranches are being overrun. Our schools are being overrun. Our hospitals are overrun. And the federal government just, it's because they're in bed with it. They're it's part of their plan that happens. And then you see something like this that, oh, let's talk about race. Oh, we need to, and see, from their viewpoint, they think that everybody thinks left-wing liberal, kumbaya, love your brother like they want you to. But, you know, Pastor was never afraid to talk about race. We've got several little pamphlets regarding race that put out truths from the Bible and truths about race. You know, let's talk about race. Let's talk about the black race for a minute. You know, I was born in 1965. That's the year the civil rights laws were passed. You know, Brown versus Board of Education, separate schooling is not equal, and things like that. So that's the landmark time of the civil rights. You know, finally, you had all the Selma marches before then, and, you know, finally, the black man, the black community is going to be equal now. And so I ask you, people, just think about this. You know, and you can go back and check your history books if you can find them, or however you want to do your research. But before the Civil Rights Act that was passed in 1965, our prisons weren't 60% black. places like Detroit and Queens and Minneapolis, Tampa. You didn't have the crime rate that you had there. Where was the black man before 1965? Where was the black youth? Where was the black male before 1965? And I tell you where he was. He wasn't on the street. He was in his home. The black father was in the home being a father and a husband. And the black mother was in the home being a mother and a wife. And the black children were in the home being raised by their black parents. And what has happened in the 50 years now since then? The black race, they've been decimated. They have been absolutely decimated. The black man is no, and I speak in generalities, but it's the majority of it. The black man is not in the home. The black youths are on the street or in jail. You see statistics all the time, and we put them out. Not that we hate blacks, but we put them out because they're truth. That, what is it, 1 in 3 black youths either are in jail or will be in jail before they're 20 if they live that long. And, you know, and that's the white man's fault, is how that's put out by this left-wing liberal. Oh, they're good businessmen, like old Schultze, the head of Starbucks. They're great businessmen when it comes to business, when it comes to making money. But, you know, the Antichrist have always been good at that. And so they want to talk about race, race forward. Let's talk about race. Who's destroyed the black race? The white man's blamed. You know, you and I are blamed for it, Jason. In the public schools today, you know, it's the Europeans' fault for all of this. Well, you know, if you look a little bit further, you see that that's just not true. That it's not. But when you start really talking about race, you don't have to talk about black-on-white crime. Boy, that gets people uncomfortable. You know, you look at the crime in Ferguson, you know, they had a, what was it, was it Ferguson or St. Louis? They had the two policemen shot here just a week or two ago. Oh, and they arrested the black people that shot them, the black youths. Oh, it was an accident. We didn't mean to shoot the policeman's. We was shooting at some other people's. And the media says, okay, no big deal. You know, what if it would have been a white person that had sat up there and fired a couple rounds in because they said they were tired of, you know, they were shooting at somebody else. And you see what the true discrimination is. Anyway, I didn't mean to get off and rant on that, but when you truly start talking about race, when you start talking about, you know, there's scientific evidence. I mean, heck, there used to be universities that studied the different physical characteristics of the different races, because there are different physical and mental characteristics of the different races. It seems like now, 50 years after the Civil Rights Movement has been enacted and passed, that many of the different races' mental capacity and understanding has dropped. Instead of gotten higher, it's dropped. Anyway. Yeah, they don't really want to talk about race. They just want to put out the what sounds good, you know.
No, is what they want to do is they want to destroy races. Yep. That's what they're saying when they put that out. Race together.
Good song.
They want to see them mixed together. They want to see both races polluted, all the races polluted, and you know, which they know brings on the wrath of God.
Yeah, yeah. For how many years did Pastor warn about that UN, the brown man? There at the UN office, and that's their goal, is just to mix it all up. Seems like we read, you know, that back in the days of the Tower of Babel, something similar was going on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you just start looking at, like, the Department of Justice's numbers, I mean, that's what is really telling. You know, 93% of blacks are killed by other blacks. Well, you know, that's their numbers. That's not my numbers. You know, considering that they only make up 13% of the population compared to 72% white, that's telling.
Yeah.
You know, basically, black on white crime. You know, 2010 is the latest numbers that we have. 62,000 blacks were the victims of white violence, but 320,000 whites were the victim of black violence. So basically, if you're white, you're five times more likely to be assaulted by a black person than a white person.
Yes.
You know, plain and simple, but it's one of those things. It's like it was interesting to see because it did backfire on them. They got a lot of heat over it. You know, one of the things, some of the comments that they were getting is they're like, oh, okay, you guys want to race together. Well, you know, how come we don't have any Starbucks in the East Lewis, Illinois, which is 98% black? How come there's none in Gary, Indiana, which is 85% black? How come there's no Starbucks in Selma, Alabama, Ferguson, Missouri? You know, Highland Park, Michigan, Bent Harbor, Michigan, you know, which are all cities that are 94% black. And their comments that they got, they pretty much shut down their Twitter accounts. They backed off of it extremely fast because people are like, okay, you want to talk about race, you know, let's talk about race. And why don't you have these coffee shops, you know, in these areas? Well, the thing is they don't have them in their areas because probably because they don't want to be burned down, you know, or...
Well, that's part of it. And they know they're...
mugged or... and because they're low-income places where people aren't going to be buying coffee.
It's because the Starbucks CEO, Schultz, discriminates. And he doesn't put his businesses and open his coffee shops up where they won't make money. And he knows they won't make money in the ghettos. They won't make money in East St. Louis. They won't make money in the Queens. And they probably will get broke down or broke into and burned down.
Yeah, that's what they talked about. They were going to put one in Ferguson and one in one of those other towns. I can't remember which one it was that we were mentioned. And that's one thing. So when they even proposed it, and they were told, you put one in there, we'll burn it down.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, in a 94% black neighborhood, I don't think it was the white people threatening to burn it down.
No. White people say, "Hey, man, I can stop by there on the way to work," because the white people are up going to work.
But it was, yeah, I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah, and, yeah, I guess that is his name, Schultz. I don't keep up with it a whole lot. I probably should keep up with it a little bit more. But they did a real big article on him in Time here just a few weeks ago. And, you know, he is a savvy businessman when it comes to being a businessman. And you're right. I like that summary. That basically he's one of them, and he wants to destroy the races. That's the whole idea. I like your summary on that.
Yeah, and a couple other interesting things that have been taking place in the news. It's been real interesting since Netanyahu got reelected. The Obama administration, the White House, they've just done nothing but attack him, which was kind of shocking.
That has
usually
been.
Usually when, you know, a president of Israel gets reelected, they make a big deal about picking up the phone and calling him and congratulating him. And that didn't happen this year. And I'm not sure exactly what underlying strife there is, but basically they came out with some fairly slanderous statements towards Netanyahu, and that was people were up in arms about that. Oh, you know, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't. You know, that's just not the way you handle things. And so I'm not exactly sure what's going on there, but there's some something taking place, and I think that'll be developing here shortly.
It has been. You know, they invited Netanyahu to come over and address Congress right before the election, and he did, but Obama wouldn't have anything to do with it. And you talk about an icy relationship right now. It got me to thinking, it's like, well, you know, who are the modern-day Israelis? Who are their allies? It's basically us in this country, the government of this country anyway, and the dirty birds in the church pulpits that love the Antichrist. And so, you know, remnant out there that are listening in that understand this, you know, share that with your friends. You know, who is it that loves the Antichrist? and the Bible defines that Antichrist, you know, as those who deny that Jesus is the Christ, and that's certainly what the Israelites do. And so then you look at, well, who are enemies of the Israelites? And it's almost everybody else. But especially right now, anyway, you know, the people that are on the forefront of being the enemies, or some of those that hate the Israelis, are the Muslims, right? I mean, the Muslims over there, they want to bomb Israel, you know, now. And that was the thought that occurred to me when I saw this happening, is that, yeah, Obama doesn't like Christians, but he sure doesn't like, he's not, you know, bowing down and promoting the Israelis either. Anyway, that was kind of how I thought about it. Was he does show his true colors. I think he's trying to please everyone, at least in the way these things are portrayed out in the public. But yeah, it's not a good relationship, at least with the Obama administration and the Israelis right now. But that sure doesn't put Obama on our team, and that's what our people have to remember. You know, the enemy of my enemy is not necessarily my friend. He may just be another enemy. You know, you read Psalms 83, and it tells of the conspiracy there, how they've all conspired together to wipe out true Israel, and that's true Christians today. And they still conspire together. They still do.
Yeah, it was interesting because for the second consecutive day on Friday, the White House publicly questioned Mr. Netanyahu's sincerity about the Israel-Palestinian peace process, suggesting that Mr. Obama did not trust him to back Palestine. Statehood, a central element of United States policy in the Middle East. When asked why the president did not take the prime minister at his word about his support for two-state solutions, dropping on down, he said, I guess the question is, well, which one? And basically, it was one of the big things was Obama didn't trust Netanyahu and didn't want to take him at his word. And Netanyahu didn't trust Obama and didn't want to take him at his word. And, they're both serving. They're both a bunch of liars.
Yeah.
And they give you some lip service, and then they expect you to just bow down and worship them.
Yeah.
And both of them refused to believe one another. And so that's what I think one of the big things is. But it's pretty obvious there's something behind the scenes that's going on that they're not telling you. So that'll be something to keep our eyes on over there as that develops here in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to kind of know what your enemies are doing. Well, let's try the phone lines this morning. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, man. This is Tom Montana. How are you, man, today?
Tom, we're
doing well. How are you, Tom?
Doing good.
I'm doing great. And I'm lifting my cup of coffee up to you. Say, this here deal with Netanyahu and Obama, their feud, I'm rejoicing in that, in the fact that I consider it an answer to prayers. It's our enemies fighting one another.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yep.
Amen.
I believe that. I think it's an answer to a prayer. Let them
well, and if you really think about it, that's how Babylon falls. It's when they turn one against another. You know, it's
amen. Amen.
Confusion coming
Praise
into their ranks.
All
just,
his ways.
Yeah, just, you know, like, and it happened. It happened before, and you know that confusion was sent into the camp, and you know that can be the way that Babylon is brought down, is turning them against one against another.
It is. We read it right now in Judges 7:22. When they blew 300 trumpets, the Lord set the sword of one against another, even throughout the whole army, and the army
Praise
fled.
Jesus.
And you know, that's another common denominator. That's one of the ways that the Lord works. He always has. Is, you know, let them come. And the Lord just sets our enemies against each other and lets them wipe each other out.
That's great. Well, you men have a good day. It's beautiful up here. I'll bet it's just as good at your place.
Thanks, Tom.
Have a good day.
God bless.
You too.
All right, thanks. And Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you want to give a call in, we've got a little time this morning, this Saturday morning. If you're listening at any other time, well, then you can't call in, but you can this morning. And so if you want to do that, again, 307-745-5913. And we'll do our best to take your call this morning. And hope you had a pleasant 2014 solar year ending couple of 91st days, the last couple of days, Wednesday at 1 till yesterday at 1 o'clock. And I know we did. Had a good opportunity. I know for me it was it's very rare during the year that I don't have to set my alarm at 6 o'clock to get up in the morning, and I sure didn't. And I got to sleep in even 7 o'clock one day, and that was a blessing in itself. And so we hope you were able to take those 91st days out there. And here we are. It's a happy new year. Got some text over the phone about just a happy new year, because it truly is it's the new year, the solar year. It's springtime, and boy, is it beautiful out here. Blue skies, and Jason, we've got water coming up in the irrigation ditch just up the road. It's that time of the year. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, guys. This is Paul in Illinois. How are you?
Good morning, Paul. Let me pour you a cup of coffee this morning. Got a fresh pot on here. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. What can we? What do you want?
Thank you so much. Easy cream, please. Yeah, I have a little bit different take on the Obama Israeli thing. I believe that the media, controlled by the enemy, they put Obama in, and most of us, most conservatives, right-wing Christians, don't like Obama. They're always portraying Obama as anti-Israel, and he's nothing of the anti-Israel. If you were to look up, Obama requests the largest amount of military aid ever for Israel, 2011, 2012, 2013, if you look at who's in his cabinet, who's in key positions, Penny Pritzker, Commerce Secretary, Rahm Emanuel, former Chief of Staff, it goes on and on. His cabinet, his czars, his federal appointments, it's all Israel firsters. And I think this is deception that Obama's anti-Israel, so the Christians will give every last tax dollar to Israel, and they're going to send their kids to fight their wars. I think it's the total opposite of what people think. It's obvious when you look at who runs him, the Federal Reserve, when you look at all the appointments I talked about, judges, prosecutors, he is anything but the anti-him. That's just a script.
Don't doubt it, Paul. Don't doubt it.
So I have to point that out so people, you know, because, again, the media portrays him as anti-Israel, so the American people will back Israel because they don't like Obama. It's so obvious. It's unbelievable.
Good point. They're playing chess.
Yes, yes, indeed. Oh, okay, thank you, brother. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, Paul. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. A couple more phone lines ringing. And one more. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Richard. This is Marlon from Tennessee.
Well, good morning, Marlon. How are you doing?
Good. Doing great.
Good to hear.
Listening this morning, the first few minutes on shortwave, excellent signal. And I just wanted to say that listening last night to Jason, I'll tell you, I learned something every time I hear his dad speak. It's very knowledgeable, and I appreciate him taking his time. I have a question for you this morning concerning the archives. Are the prayer meetings, the Wednesday night prayer meetings, are they archived?
No, they are not.
Okay, okay. Well, I've had to miss the last couple of Wednesday nights working late, and I wanted to kind of go back and catch up. But anyway, just wanted to let you all know it's good to hear your voice and listening in here in Tennessee, and all is well.
Thanks, Marlon.
Well, thanks for the call.
Yes, sir. Take care.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
And a couple more phone lines ringing. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's Anthony from New Jersey.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
Abundantly blessed.
Amen. Thank God. So, you know what? I'm thinking the same thing that last caller just said. I was feeling the same thing. Something's going on. Can't put my finger on it. I think he's on the right track, though.
Yeah.
With this Obama thing. I've been thinking the same thing. I don't trust him as far as I can throw him.
Oh, no. No, not at all. Got a text from a brother, Anthony, said, let's you and him fight. And, you know, there's always that unseen third party. And I think that sure applies, you know.
Yeah. I think so, too, because there's just so much deception. There's layers of it. And I can't take anything for face value. You know, we can't take anything for face value. And they are playing that chessboard behind the scenes, for
Amen.
Sure. But, yeah, that's. I just wanted to call and say that. And also, I have a friend who works for Starbucks, lady friend, and she was appalled by the fact that they were requesting this this race topic to be brought up, you know, buying a cup of coffee. And she is absolutely not partaking or involving herself in any of those any of that stuff. And you know what it comes down to with this race thing. Anything that you bring up about race is really, I've been hearing this kind of quote going around for a while, and I'm starting to realize, yeah, that's pretty much the bottom line, is that it's anti-white, you know, or they're promoting or pushing the white guilt agenda or propaganda on everybody.
Yes.
You know?
Well, they are. They have classes in college that you take that, you know, overcoming your white privilege.
Yeah.
I mean, those are credit courses in colleges. And our white people take them,
yeah.
And it's part of the part of the warfare.
Yeah, it's all warfare. It's all the Antichrist spirit coming against the Christians and coming against God's people. You know, to deceive everyone. And I pray all the time that the country wakes up. All those who are called by God or seek the Lord Jesus, that the veil is lifted and they come out of their, you know, the deception and from the distractions that are put out there by the enemy to get us back on track and to seek the Lord with all our heart and all our soul, you know, and get through there. But
Amen.
Other than that, I wanted to, you know, thank you guys, you know, for your ministry. I pray for you guys all the time. I pray for LaPorte Church of Christ and all you, and Jason and Richard and everyone there. And
well, thank you, Anthony. Sure appreciate it.
Yeah, you guys are an encouragement. I appreciate it. Thank God for you. Thank God for the ministry, and He's given you guys a wonderful platform, and I hope that you guys continue. So.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You do the same, gentlemen. God bless.
Jason, phone lines are still ringing, and I'll tell you, Remnant, you know, Jason signed the two of us up for a couple computer classes a few weeks ago, but it wasn't overcoming our white privilege, was it, Jason? No. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Davey in Texas. I only have a minute left on this card, but I just wanted to shoot a couple of Bible verses to you. Hosea 1:11 and Zephaniah 3:9. And that Zephaniah 3:9 says we have to have a pure language. And the children of Israel need to use proper language and stop calling the Khazar proselytes to Talmudic Judaism Israel. It's abundantly clear that America has received no blessings for blessing the children of the devil.
Amen.
Thank y'all so much for what y'all do, and I appreciate it immensely when you play those sermons of Pastor Peters when he delivers that proper benediction at the end of his messages.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. That's good to hear. Good morning, caller. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, Richard. Hello, Jason.
Good morning.
This is Joe.
Hey,
I'd like to address something that a lot of people might be confused on with your request for radio checks and reception reports, and that's the concept of universal time. I've not heard you discuss it at all with regards to changing the configuration from local time, that is daylight savings or Eastern or standard time. Into
when they send one in, it's automatically time stamped. So I don't really know. I don't need to worry about that.
Okay, it's a little bit complicated for people.
I got a UTC that can just tell me what when somebody uses the form or the email on it, it comes in and it tells me what time, and you know, I have it set to tell me what time it comes in on Mountain Time, so I know that what time zone they're on.
Yeah. All right. If that's already, if in other words, if I put in 10 a.m. in the UTC time slot, it will automatically change it to Zulu time or UTC?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And a lot of people just put that in the comments, you know, because they don't know about the conversion on it. And people get really confused on the conversions of it. So,
all right. Well, there are two websites that'll help straighten it out. I can read.
Oh yeah, if you got those handy, why don't you give them to us?
Yeah, one of them is it's militarytimechart.com, and this will help you to convert local time, say for instance 10 a.m. into 1000 hours, and that was what my dad used to call train time. That was military time, just to turn it into like a 24-hour clock, so you didn't get confused as to whether 1 p.m., 2 p.m., and so forth. It eliminates the p.m., a.m. deal. And long-time shortwave users know about that probably. And from military time, you simply count in daylight savings time, which we're in now, you simply count on your fingers, 1, 2, 3, 4. In other words, if it's 12 noon, you count 1, that's 13, 14, 15, 16, and that's 1600 UT is 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. And the universal conversion chart on the NOAA website, it's noaanews.noaa.gov/hurricanes/Zulu time HTML, and there's a big old chart here, and you can study it, and it's pretty straightforward. It just takes a little while for your brain to get wrapped around it. So, anyway, thanks for taking my call. I thought I'd.
That's good. And then, does that have that where you can convert it to, you convert it to UTC? Does that have it on that right there on the charts there too?
Well, it's
different areas. You know, you're +6, +4, +.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If you go to the NOAA Hurricane Nature's Greatest Storms website, it has local. On the local, it's got a chart. It's a flow chart, okay, kind of a thing, and it says local, and then it says midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., all the way down to the end, into the p.m., and then to the right of that, it says Eastern Daylight Time. Which is where I am right now, and it has in red all the corresponding Zulu time readouts, all the way down to you know, midnight to midnight.
Midnight to midnight,
yeah. It's on the NOAA website. It's pretty easy to, you know, NOAA, N-O-A-A, which is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And those two websites ought to, if anybody has any problems converting, just for their, like there's a lot of programs on shortwave that actually go by that. They'll say, and in the old days of AM radio and stuff, they would say if it was a national program, they would say, it is now 5 minutes until the top of the hour. You understand that they don't really say the local time because they are aware that there are people in other time zones that are listening to the same program. So,
gotcha. Okay. Well, appreciate that.
All right. Have a good day, and we'll be listening in.
Thanks, Joe.
All right.
Take care.
All right. Yeah, Zulu time and GMT and all that kind of stuff can sure get confusing to some people. And but if you go to our website, sfawbn.com. That's the network website. Has the complete broadcast schedule there. We do broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, into every time zone, and really into the whole world on shortwave. And you can see the broadcast schedule there. Now, that broadcast schedule is in central time, because that's where the transmitter is. And so it's in the central time zone. And so that's the time zone we go on. So when you see that schedule there, of course, if you're Eastern, it's going to be an hour later than the broadcast time. And as you come this way, here we are out in Mountain Time. That's an hour earlier than that central time zone. Then, of course, Pacific is another hour earlier than that. And you just have to kind of go from there. But Jason got a text in from my brother Tom. He says, people can't read a clock, let alone figure military time. And, you know, sometimes it comes down to that. It can be confusing. But appreciate the calls and good information there. Sure is. Well, this hour is just about to wrap up. Jason, didn't know if you had any closing comments or any few more minutes here to share with the remnant.
Closing comments. Let's see here. We got a few minutes left. There was something I was going to talk about, but I can't remember exactly what it was. Hate it when that happens. We had that, it's interesting, you know, this year right there, right around the time that spring broke, and we had spring break here. I'll tell you what, it was pretty awesome because the weather just changed just perfect, just like it was on cue, and was able to, the snow started melting off in the mountains, we got some warm days. We went from, you know, down in the 20s and 30s up to in the 70s, actually got up to 79 up here last week, just out of the blue, and back down a little bit after that. But, boy, I tell you what, it's a good time of year, and I think that there's a lot to, we have the 91st days, they come through, and I think that it's, we always hear that the term spring cleaning. And, you know, it's obvious that, you know, for our people, it's like they get there. It's got to be something that's just in their genetics because, you know, this time of year comes around, people are ready to get out of the house. They're ready to do stuff in the yard. They're ready to start working outside.
Yes.
And it's just a good time of year. And I've really noticed that this year it's like, you know, it's a change that's in the weather, you know, and it comes with that shift of those solstices and those equinoxes, and it's pretty exciting. Just really good time of year. It's time to get outside and start working in the gardens, getting prepared for gardens and working with animals, and, you know, fun time of year.
Amen. Amen. It truly is. And you know, that spring cleaning, I remember the pastor bringing out, excuse me, I remember the pastor bringing out that the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Germanic, Celtic, and kindred people are the only people that do any type of a spring cleaning. You don't read about it in the Chinese culture. You don't read about it in the Zulu culture. Of course, you don't read about anything in the Zulu culture. While we're talking about race, hey, that's just how it is. But it's our people that do that. And imagine that. Here it is, the springtime of the year, and it's the start of our new year. And so, you know, people wonder where the oh, we're going to do New Year's resolutions and things like that back on January 1st. Well, that's just a mirror. That's just a copy of the true the spring cleaning that comes, that that our people desire to do. And so it is beautiful time of the year. One of the most beautiful times of the year here at the Radio Ranch. We hope you're having good weather and blessed where you are as well. And as we kind of wrap up this Coffee with the Wranglers, of course, we always invite you to church. We tried to anyway. So we do want to invite you to church. John's traveling, so Jason is going to have the welcome tomorrow. So if you want to put a face with that voice of Jason, you can join us for church in the morning at scripturesforamerica.org. And that's 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And join us for church. You'll get to see Jason. He'll have a welcome and a short introduction for us, and we'll have some songs, and we'll take communion. I think we've got a review of the news to fire things up at 10 o'clock, set for tomorrow, and we'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message by our pastor. And you never know. You know, Pastor did a great series on the Ask Gideon series and the answer to the Ask Gideon series, and that's where we're reading right now in our Bible reading plan. And so the message we have tomorrow may be there, may not. I know he brought some great messages along those lines, but you can be guaranteed that the message that is brought will be for you tomorrow if you'll tune in and watch it. That's how they work. There's just no doubt about that. So, well, Jason, glad you're recovering. I know been a lot of prayers put up for you. People have been calling and asking, I know you've been saying you're on the road to recovery, so we're sure glad about that. And
yep, it's good to be feeling better, that's for sure.
Amen, amen. Well, Remnant, thanks for joining us, Lord, and we thank all, Lord, we do thank all those that join us and that support us. And if, Remnant, if you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Jason, we'll see you at church in the morning.
All righty.
All right. Thanks again.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Snake hide!
Move it, move it, move it. Though they're disapproving, Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake hide. Snake hide.